to a bit much. We're so glad to have you. I feel like I'm, that felt very much like I was the host of like a late night show. we got a great show for you tonight, folks. My name is Jenna.
And I'm Megan. And if this were a talk show, I'd be like the cool guy on drums or whatever that you talk to the side. Anyway, welcome to our show on A Bit Much. We watch a few episodes of The 100 and then we get together and we talk about it for all of you.
Yeah, it's all selfish. None of this is for our own enjoyment. It's all
selfless. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. We only do this for the people. We hate The 100, actually. Yeah. We
it's, have no honestly, thoughts or feelings about it at all. It's a work of charity that we have these conversations.
I put it on my... it's a tax write-off, honestly.
Yeah. All right. You want to summarize your episodes?
Sure. So episode 304, Watch the Thrones. In Polis, the Ice Queen challenges Lexa in order to unseat her from the throne, offering her banished son Rowan to fight Lexa in one-on-one combat. Clark attempts to kill the Ice Queen in order to stop the match from going forward, but she is thwarted by Antari, a Nightblood loyal to the Ice Station. Lexa fights Rowan and wins, but kills the Ice Queen instead of her son, making Rowan king of the Ice Nation. In Arcadia, tension is high after the massacre in Mount Weather, splitting Sky Crew into two camps, one led by Kane and Abby, who support peace with the Grounders, and one led by Pike, who oppose all Grounders, regardless of clan or the Alliance. When Indra's army shows up at the periphery of Arcadia in order to protect it from the Ice Nation, Pike gets Bellamy to arm a small group to kill them all. They are stopped by Lincoln, and Kane and Abby throw the traitors in jail, only to release them the next day when Pike is voted the new Chancellor. All right, episode 305, Hakaldama. Summary. Pike and Bellamy lead a small group to kill all of Indra's army, only sparing Indra herself to give Lexa the message that Sky Crew rejects her alliance and they will fight to the death for the land they believe they are entitled to. Clark convinces Lexa to let her try to get Bellamy back on their side and oust Pike. And with the help of Octavia, she sneaks into Arcadia to speak with him. Unfortunately, Bellamy is not moved and tries to keep Clark prisoner, only to have Octavia help Clark escape the way she came in. Clark convinces Lexa not to retaliate, but to instead try to form a peace with Sky Crew, breaking their tradition of blood must have blood. Meanwhile, Jaha returns to Arcadia and begins to preach the gospel of the City of Light, eventually gaining Raven as his first acolyte when she swallows Allie's chip in the last-ditch effort to get rid of the pain in her leg and make her feel herself again.
Nice. 306 is called Bitter Harvest. Rowan sends Emerson to Clark as a gesture of goodwill. Clark initially plans on executing Emerson for his crimes, but finally decides to spare him, announcing to Lex's court that blood must not have blood. Pike wants to wipe out a Grounder village for access to land for crops, but Octavia warns the villagers in the hope that they'll flee. The Grounders set a trap that kills some of the attacking Sky Crew and ruins the soil. Many Arcadians are joining the City of Light, and Abby is suspicious of the movement. Raven helps Allie search for a version 2 of her code in the Ark's mainframe, and upon finding nothing, Jaha realizes it must have been on the destroyed 13th station, Polaris. Murphy is revealed to be Titus's captive. Titus is torturing him, asking for info on Clark and the City of Light chip. And beside them is a spacecraft that, with two middle letters obscured, reads Polis.
Nice.
So, there's a lot of upsetting things that happen in episode 304. but do you want to start by talking about the, like, the stuff happening in Polis? Because that's not... as upsetting.
Yeah. So,
yeah, so, it,
yeah. So it starts with this coup, right? Where, you know, the Ice Queen shows up and she's like, well, she's captured. They're like, you're a traitor or whatever. And she was like, I start a vote of no confidence. And then all of the ambassadors are like, we're with this lady. And then Clark is like, I'm not. And so they now have to like fight, have a, you know, trial by combat, basically, one-on-one. And Ice Queen chooses Rowan, her banished son, and Lexa's like, I'll do this my damn self.
Which I was, just to cut in for a second, when the Ice Queen, Naya, she's like, you know, for my champion, I choose my son, Rowan. And, you know, the camera pans to him or whatever, and he, like, doesn't look pleased about this. And I'm like, are the champions allowed to say no? if someone is just like, I choose you to fight for me in this trial by combat, like, are you just beholden to be in this fight to the death?
Apparently. Or if, does that just apply if it's your mom?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a good question. But yeah, Clark was immediately like, this is a problem I need to solve.
Yeah.
Which I feel like she does pretty much on a regular basis. Because she's like, Lexa, you're going to die. Like, I don't know why she's so convinced that Lexa's not going to win. Because she's seen Rowan in action. She's like, he's great. And she was like, you've never seen me fight. And Clark is like, pshaw, whatever. So she decides to get with Ronan and be like, hey, if you kill your mom and then you can be king. And he was like, I can't kill my mom and then be king because everyone would be pissed at me. And so Clark is like, well, then I'll do it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't go great. That's when they find out. So we have to like talk a little bit about Nightbloods because this is the first time it's really come up.
Right.
But yeah, so Antari, you know, stops her from killing the Ice Queen. And she's a Nightblood. And so Nightbloods, well, I don't know how deep we should go into it because we don't know that much right now, like as an audience in this scene.
Right. This is like the first time we've been introduced to Nightbloods when the Ice Queen has like Antari bleed her black blood onto Clark sort of as a message. And I think basically all we learn in this episode is that the commander has to be a Nightblood, and it like goes back to their founder or whatever. I can't remember what they call her, what her title is.
Oh yeah, me either.
But yeah, so basically it's like, oh, their first commander had this dark blood, and now anyone who becomes a commander has to have this dark blood. And also I think in this episode Lexa explains that the commander title is like, it's a lot like the Avatar, actually, where it's like the same spirit will get like sort of passed into another person to take over the position. So basically what we find out from this episode is that the Ice Queen has someone who could become the commander, and that would be really bad for Sky Crew.
Yeah, because she's like way older than everyone else. So like Nightbloods are basically like, it's supposed to be like, if you figure out your kid's a Nightblood, like you send them to Polis so they can be trained to maybe become the next commander. And they didn't do that because they're the freaking Ice Nation. They don't follow anyone's rules.
Do whatever
and so,
the hell they want.
Yeah. And so they have Antari, who's like probably like 17, 18. And then like the person who Lexa was like, this will probably be the person who wins. He's like 12 or something. So
right.
Probably not going to go well. So yeah, so that's what Lexa's saying the whole time until she learns about this Nightblood. She's like, if I die, I'll just be reincarnated. No biggie. And so she's like now concerned because she's like, I don't want to be reincarnated to this chick. So that's the problem. And then, but in true Lexa fashion, she pulls it out. It's incredible. I love that fight scene so much.
What I loved about that fight scene was that like they just got down to it really quickly. Like I feel yes. like in other like sort of trial by combat scenes that you watch on TV, it's like so drawn out, like they're like circling each other and figuring out what they're gonna do. Whereas here it was like, you know, Titus said go, and then they immediately started hitting each other, and it was a really intense fight, like from start to finish. Like I thought it was very well done.
Yes, that's one of the things I love about the 100 is they just don't hold back. They're like, bam, bam, we have too much stuff to get through to dance around each other.
Right.
So, very cool. Lexa almost loses for dramatic effect. And then she, like, obviously bests Rowan. He's on the ground. She could stab him through the heart and end it. But instead, she takes her giant spear and throws it and kills the Ice Queen. It's the coolest moment ever.
Yeah,
and cool. Also, like, it's hilarious to me, though, because it's like, you know, sometimes it feels like the Grounders have, like, very set traditions and, like, sacred rituals and, like, things that they have to do. But then it's other times it's like, it seems that, you know, those rituals or whatever, like, are good. But if you can do something more badass, then do that. So that seems to be what happened here. And they were just like, that was awesome, but I guess this is okay now.
Right.
And yeah, then Rowan, she like, you know, Rowan is in her debt because he spared her life and made him a king all in one spear throw. So great diplomacy by Alexa.
Yeah, so that's about all of that plot line in this episode, huh?
Yes.
Okay, so back at Arcadia, you know, they're having like a little council meeting thing, and Abby and Kane are basically, you know, have the stance that like they are part of this alliance now. They're one of the clans, so any sort of you know, justice against the Ice Nation for killing everyone in Mount Weather, the second time around, of course, should be enacted by Lexa, basically. Whereas Pike is like, we can't trust a grounder to punish a grounder, and, you know, going into all of his, like, xenophobic ideas. So that's going on. And then we get this memorial scene for everyone who died. I think this is the first time we see Miller's boyfriend.
Yeah. Or in any significant way, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember seeing him.
He might have been, like, in the party that they, like, found. They're like, oh, farm station. But I can't remember.
I don't think he was with them. I feel like I would have remembered that. Anyway, it doesn't matter. We see him for the first time, and he says some nice things about some random character who died. And then Bellamy speaks about Gina, and he has his little copy of the Iliad that she gave him, and yeah, I mean, I guess it was sad, but as we've already discussed, like, Gina is just a plot point, and, and it doesn't feel very genuine.
Agreed. And then, what happened that they were all like, oh, then some of, Pike's goons come in, and they're like, there's a big old grounder army outside, and then people start to get angry, and then...
Right. Yeah, so at the start of this episode, like, Lexa says that she is sending Indra to go, like, gather up an army to protect Arcadia from Ice Nation. So it's like, she's explicitly said, like, we're, you know, gathering troops to protect you. And then Pike's people find out about it, and they're like, there's an army here. Obviously, they're going to turn on us and kill us. Whatever.
Yes, so they automatically assume that they're there to, like, it's a trick or something. And then a guy gets angry and has a rock for some reason and throws it at Lincoln, and it hits him in the head, like, really, really hard. And then everyone just like erupts into fights, and Bellamy somehow gets across the room, like, in 0.5 seconds flat, and, like, gets in front of Lincoln and, like, tries to protect him and stuff, and, like, it's almost a riot, and then Kane just comes in and is like, everyone stop it! And they do, and Lincoln is hurt, and it's just really, really sad, and he goes outside, and he's like, when you get knocked down, you get back up.
Like, yeah. Oh,
yeah. Oh, Lincoln so much.
It's, yeah, I mean,
very unfortunate.
It is. And then, like, in a subsequent scene, when Lincoln is getting, like, patched up in the, like, medical area, it must be Octavia. I don't remember who talks to him, but
it's Octavia.
Okay, Octavia is like, you know, you can, like, we can leave. Like, you're not, like, a wanted man anymore. Like, we can just get out of here. And Lincoln is like, no, I have to stay here to, like, show them that we can get along, that, like, even though I am a grounder, that, like, we can cooperate. And it's, yeah, it's very sad. And Lincoln is just a great guy.
Yeah, he's the greatest guy. And then, like, so this is where it all goes downhill.
Yes, okay, so the scene where Pike talks to Bellamy, right? Like, this is where everything falls apart.
This is where one conversation changes all of the characters' morals, like snapping your fingers. It's awful. So, Pike and Bellamy sit down, over a couple drinks, like men, and they are going to talk it out. Pike is going to, like, he's just trying to get Bellamy on his side, basically. Like, all grounders are evil. We need to destroy all of them before they destroy us. And basically manipulating him using, like, Gina's death. And, which, I mean, granted, yes. Has Bellamy experienced a lot of hardship and unfortunate things from the hand of grounders? Yes. So he, like, dredges all that up, and his plan is to take, I think it's, like, 10 or a dozen people with guns and, like, just kill all of Indra's army, you know, because to kill them before they kill us, basically.
Right.
And Bellamy's role in this is to arm them, because I guess he's the only one that has access to the machine guns, because he's a guard. So, like, at the end of the conversation, it's kind of obvious that, like, he's won Bellamy over, and Bellamy's going to do this thing for him. And then he does the thing for him. And he's leading okay, so maybe we can stop there.
Yeah, well, so, right, this scene where Pike is talking to Bellamy and trying to kind of, you know, convince him, radicalize him, is, you know, just very much to me harkened back to, like, the problems that we talked about with Finn when, you know, it was like, well, we want the narrative to go a certain way, and so Finn is just going to kind of lose his mind and, like, unreasonably, you know, get violent with some grounders. And it, you know, felt like they're kind of doing the same thing here where, like, you know, Pike says, we let our guard down, we trusted the grounders, and look where it got us. Like, you know, we can't ever do that again. And, like, Bellamy agrees, like, yeah, never again. And then, yeah, at the end of this conversation, agrees to secure the guns for them to go attack this peacekeeping force that is there to protect them. And, like, I just, because, like, sort of the core reasoning behind Pike's beliefs, right, are that his first interaction with the grounders for a long time, you know, for a period of months, was just with the Ice Nation, who are a very aggressive clan. And
they're the Russia of grounders, basically.
And, I mean, like, literally, they're the Canada of grounders, which doesn't seem in line.
Damn, yeah, if we get that bad that the Canadians turn Ice Nation, it's all downhill from there.
But, I mean, you know, so basically he believes that, he has this belief that all grounders are the same, which is whack, because, you know, there's only, like, you know, a couple, I mean, at this point, probably less than 1,000 people in Arcadia, and he's capable of understanding that, like, there are different beliefs and factions within this group of people, so I don't know why he doesn't think that's true of the grounders, who are, you know, there are thousands and thousands of them. But, like, Bellamy does, you know? Like, Bellamy has interacted, like, he trusts Indra, you know? He knows, he has, you know, fought alongside these people, so I don't... In later episodes, there is some attempt to kind of rationalize this, but in the moment of this scene, it just makes so little sense that he would be like, yeah, you're right, we should attack this peacekeeping army of, like, mostly or entirely tree crew people who, you know, you have been in a good relationship with for quite some time now. So it's just absurd.
Right? It's just, like, a huge leap in logic. Like, not even, like, on an emotional level. Like, yeah, okay, let's buy it. He was really in love with this, you know, paper woman that they've created. And, you know, he has, like I said, he has... terrible things have happened to him because of grounders. But, like, yeah, he, like, trusts Lincoln, and he trusts Indra. Like, just the fact that it's Indra, like, I don't, it doesn't make any sense that he would be like, yeah, totally, this totally makes sense. Like, he would at least, like, if they had more time, right? Like, I'm not advocating for Bellamy turning into this guy, but if they wanted to do it right, if they wanted to make this terrible decision in a better way, then, like, go have him, like, have a conversation with Indra where, like, maybe she's pissed, maybe she says things and makes him suspicious. I don't know, but, like, yeah. But, like, going and massacring Indra's army, like, that doesn't make any sense.
Exactly, yeah. So then they go to get the guns, but Lincoln, Monroe, and Harper are, like, there to stop them. And they're like, Bellamy, don't do this. You know better than this. This isn't you, whatever. And he, again, just kind of repeats this idea that, like, no, they're going to turn on us. We can't trust them. And, like, I've always done what's best for us. Like, you guys have to trust me. And then Monroe and Harper just kind of like, okay. And then, like, back down.
Yeah, which is also a terrible leap in logic. Like, ever since.
It's like, why were they here in the first place if exactly. they were going to be that easily persuaded? Like, okay, I guess we'll let you do it.
Exactly. And then it's like, you know, you kind of got the sense that at least, well, I don't know fuck all about Monroe, but Harper, like, you know, you got the sense that in Mount Weather, they all kind of got their independence, you know, they all, like, had a coming of age where they were like, you know, Bellamy and Clark can't take care of us forever, like, we need to take care of ourselves. So you kind of thought that they, like, had a mind of their own and they could make decisions on their own. Like, I don't think Harper would just be like, yeah, cool, okay, and step aside and just be like, sorry, Lincoln. Like, so stupid.
Yeah. But anyway, before they actually do get the guns and go do this, basically they are discovered and Kane and Abby show up and, like, arrest all of them and throw them in jail for treason, essentially, for trying to access guns to go murder a whole bunch of their allies.
Yeah. And then, of course, Bellamy has to start up this pike chant while they're being carted away to jail. Yeah. And that's when you know. That's probably not good.
Right. And, so, yeah. So I think we talked about this last time, how there was, you know, Kane and Abby kind of established, like, oh, we're going to have an election for a new chancellor. Mm-hmm. I guess it's just because Abby's bad at her job or doesn't want it anymore. So we're going to have an election. Everyone assuming that Kane would win. Mm-hmm. But then this happens. And then while Pike and Bellamy and their cohort are in jail, they have the election. And Pike wins the election. And so Kane is just comes in and is like, you're chancellor now, you're in charge. And Pike's like, cool, we're all pardoned. We're not the 13th clan. Let's go murder some grounders. Mm-hmm. And something that my sister talked to me about, pointed out kind of, was that, like, what is their justice system in which someone who is currently, like, has just committed treason and is in jail can be elected to chancellor, like, with no recourse? Like, shouldn't there be some sort of restriction on that? Of, like, well, he has to go to a trial or something? Like, how is that okay?
It's pure democracy, baby!
And I also, because, like, okay, he obviously had everyone from Farm Station on his side, you know, because they, you know, have been with him. He's been their leader through a lot of hard stuff. They have also suffered at the hands of grounders. They're going to feel that way. But especially since a bunch of Farm Station people just died in Mount Weather, I don't understand how he got so many votes from non-farm. Because there's even, I think Kane has a line where he's like, it wasn't close. Like, it was overwhelmingly Pike. And I don't understand how more people trust Pike than Kane, who have been living in, you know, Arcadia for a while now.
That's a good question, right?
Because it's like, under, you know, Abby's leadership, but also a lot with a lot of Kane's help, it's like, they had 3 months apiece. That would have been great. Like, why would they vote for someone else?
I don't know.
I mean, and I feel like we had the election off screen because there isn't a good answer to that.
Yeah, fair. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. So then they go massacre a bunch of people who were there to protect them. Cool choice. Awesome. But they leave Indra alive. And that's where Clark and Lexa come in. They're bringing the Ice Queen's body back. Right. To be like, hey, we got revenge for you. You're welcome. But then they stumble on Indra's massacred army and notice that they're, like, all bullet holes, which means it can only be Sky Crew. And they find Indra still alive, and Bellamy, like, you know, at least he kept Indra alive, or he was told Pike not to kill her.
And right, then, and, like, she has this line where they're trying to make Bellamy, like, not so bad, because she's like, Bellamy didn't want to kill the injured people, but they didn't listen to him. Like, that's still not okay, Bellamy.
Yeah, still not
cool. This is still a war crime, even if you're, like, let's not murder literally everyone.
Cool motive, still war crime.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so eventually Bellamy, like, convinces Pike to let Indra live so that she can give them the message that they're like, we are not part of your alliance, we're not the 13th clan, and we'll fight you if you come anywhere near us. So, yeah. So Lex is like, all right, fucking war, let's go. I'm gonna injure people. And Clark, it's so funny the way Clark just immediately assumes that Lexa will let her do whatever she wants, because she, like, starts to walk away, like, I'll talk to them. And then, like, Lexa's, like, guards stop her, and Clark looks at her like, what? And I was like, of course she's not just gonna let you go. Like, who are you? And so, but eventually Clark is like, you know, blah, blah, before we start a war, let me talk to Bellamy, blah, blah, blah. And Lexa's like, all right, you're hot, so sure. And so she lets her go. With Octavia. I can't remember when Octavia came. But Octavia sneaks her in. And she has a conversation with Bellamy that sucks so much.
I was like, in my notes, half of my notes for episode 5 are like from this conversation. Like, I was analyzing like every single line that they said.
I want to hear this line by line analysis.
Okay, cool. So basically, yeah, so Octavia arranges so that they can have the secret meeting, which, like, you know, she surprises Bellamy into. She doesn't tell him ahead of time. And he is first initially, like, upset with Clark that she stayed in Polis, and says that she chose Grounders over her own people, which...
Not true. Doesn't
not true. Again, totally get that he's upset that she stayed. Like, we talked about this last episode about how he, like, went into so much trouble to try and bring her back, and then she was like, no, I'm gonna stay as an ambassador here. Like, I am glad that they kind of addressed that, like, he was upset about that, but okay, whatever, that's a weird interpretation of the events. And then this is, like, kind of where they try to justify Bellamy's position here, because, like, he's saying, like, we've been at war since we landed, this is who I've always been, which to a certain extent, it's like, yeah, you are just regressing to, you know, season one, Bellamy, he was just like, we're gonna kill some Grounders, I'm so excited about it, you know? Yeah. And then Clark, like, tries to, first of all, she just says, like, I need you, which, you know, very important. And then, but then she's like, you know, you wouldn't let me pull that lever alone. Like, I need that guy. And then Bellamy, it just brings up all of the shitty things that Clark has done, basically.
Yeah.
He's like, when people die when you're in charge. He brings up when she and Lexa let that bomb attack the village, which, like, definitely could have killed Octavia. He basically, like, blames her for allying with Lexa, because that then when Lexa betrayed them, then they had to kill everyone in that weather, including people who, like, were good people, you know, like, all of, like, Maya and her family and all of the people who were helping the 47 or whatever hide in there. Like, we had to kill all of them, he says, because of her alliance with Lexa, which, again, like, okay, he's hurt and he's just saying things, but, like, they couldn't have gotten that far without Lexa anyway.
Yeah.
And then she, like, apologizes, and then they have, like, this seemingly touching moment, but then he handcuffs her.
And, like, again, like, there are seeds of, like, a good writing, of good conversation in there, that things that should be said. Of, yes, like, there's a lot of shit between them, right? A lot of unsaid things, where, like, they are both angry about things each other has done. And, like, yes, I live for that conflict or whatever. But it's still, like, it's still to this end that is stupid and forced and just depressing in its awfulness. Right.
Well, and, like, there, I don't know if it's in this conversation or another one where Bellamy has this line where he says, like, it finally addresses the fact that it's like, hey, not all grounders are the same, where he says, like, oh, don't try to tell me, like, the difference between Ezgeta and Tree Crew, because, like, Tree Crew killed, I don't know, you know, 25 of my people, like, you know, when it was just the 100 or whatever. Which, again, like, harkens back to that scene at the end of season one when they're, like, leaving camp, leaving the dropship, and he and Clark had this moment, you know, where he goes, like, however many, you know, 20-something, like, dead. And she goes, like, yeah, but, you know, however many alive. Like, you've been a good leader here, whatever. You know, so it's like, yeah, clearly he still holds these this guilt over the people who, you know, he was ostensibly leading and then who were killed by Tree Crew. But again, it's just like, but we've seen his growth and we've seen him form relationships with Tree Crew people and, like, understand. Again, it's like, it's just going back to this idea of, like, oh, the grounders only understand war, like, they're not, you know, they're savages, whatever, whereas, like, don't you think we've moved beyond that mindset? Like, haven't you seen and experienced enough to understand that it's more complicated than that?
For real. And, like, I feel like also Clark goes, what about Lincoln? And then, like, Bellamy doesn't address it at all. He's just like, don't give me that. Like, but really, but what about Lincoln? Yeah. Like, he's basically your brother at this point. And, like, you're not willing to see past, like, all of that. It's just, it's very dumb.
Yeah, it is very dumb.
So then Octavia knocks Bellamy out, which is so great. And then takes Clark and gets her out of there, and Clark and Abby have another moment where they're like, oh my god, you're alive, blah, 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 and then they have to leave each other, which sucks. But then, yeah, Clark goes back to Lexa and is basically like, yeah, I couldn't do it, but also, just don't. And Lexa's like, okay.
Yeah,
which, I mean, also she's problematic.
Plot-wise. Right, well, she's like, she's trying to appeal to, like, hey, like, instead of just having, like, an eye for an eye, whatever, blood must have blood, like, let's use diplomacy. Like, that is what will bring peace. And, like, to a certain extent, she has a point, right? But it's also just, like, you can't do nothing about this, you know? Yeah. Like, this, again, like, this was a war crime. Like, they massacred people, including injured people, who were not there to fight them, who were there to protect them. And, like, there can't be no justice for that. So the fact that Lexa is just willing to be like, you know what, let's give peace a chance, like, I'll just not do anything about this, again, like, maybe is just lazy writing, maybe is just, like, shows how much she is in love with Clark and will do whatever Clark says, like, I don't know.
Yeah, and, like, I think it's a combination of both. I think they could have made it more obvious, right, that it's because she's so in love with Clark. Like, I think that has something to do with it, but that's definitely, like, subtext. It's not made clear that that is why she is doing it. And, like, not that everything has to be, like, in your face obvious, but, like, there are ways to make that clear that those are her motivations. And so, just disappointing all around, but great. All right, anything else for the episode, or are we moving on?
Well, we've been deep in the episode 5 for a while now.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't talk about Raven at all.
Yeah, no, we definitely got to get into Raven. I don't know how much, I don't think she really had anything in the first episode.
I don't think she was in the first episode
at all. I literally don't think she was in it, yeah.
Yeah, because when she showed up in the second one, I was like, oh yeah, Raven!
Right, again, like, just kind of continuing part of, you know, Pike's tyranny is that, like, before he's chancellor, Nyko brings a bunch of sick grounders to Arcadia to be cared for because they have, you know, technology and medical knowledge that it doesn't exist for the grounders. And then once Pike is chancellor, he interns all of them, throws them all in jail, and it's very upsetting to see.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, we can talk about Jasper.
Oh, Jasper is a hot mess.
So he steals Finn's ashes, I guess, and takes them back to the dropship to scatter, and he and Monty have this conversation about how Jasper is not coping well, and Monty is upset about it. And the, like, sort of one notable thing from that conversation, I felt like, was that Jasper repeated Maya's last words. He said, like, you know, oh, Monty thinks he's innocent, like, none of us is innocent. Which, like, yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Jasper's
yeah.
not this.
I did find it hilarious when Monty, like, found the ashes and, like, saw the tooth and then immediately knew what it was, because I was like, that could be so many people.
Right, yeah. I was like, what, like, who, what? Like,
yeah.
I guess, yeah, I guess Finn is the only person who they're like, you know, he died just by himself. So you could just take his ashes. Anyway.
Oh, Lord.
But yeah, let's talk about Raven.
Yeah, so fucking Jaha is back.
Right, Jaha and Allie show up at Arcadia.
Yes.
And then Otahn dies. They shoot, they shoot Otahn, which is just like, again, it's right after Pike has become Chancellor, so they're like, that's a grounder. We'll kill him immediately.
And Jaha's so microchipped, he doesn't even, like, care. Like, what?
Well, because we already know that death doesn't exist in the City of Light, so, you know,
right. No
big deal.
NBD. So, yeah. So then Jaha gets inside and starts preaching, basically, to everyone about the City of Light. And they've all had such a terrible time that they're all like, sure, yeah, whatever, anything. But, you know, they're hesitant because you have to swallow this thing, which, like, is very suspicious. It's very culty. It's not great.
Yes.
And Raven's basically like, you know, you're delusional, pain, you can't just get rid of pain, get away from me. And Allie's like, we need her. Like, if she takes it, the rest will. And I don't know how she comes to that conclusion, but, you know, plot. So, Jaha then makes it his mission to convert Raven. And basically, Raven, you know, because of her leg and all the pain that she's in, she can't do the things that she's used to, like patrol and, you know, walk around and fix things and be Raven. So she's really struggling with that. And she just breaks down, basically, and is like, you know, if I can't do these things, then I'm not useful. I'm not me. It's not even worth it. So she takes the chip, and then magically she has no more pain.
Yep.
Yep.
So meanwhile, Murphy and Amori are partners in crime. They just have this little, you know, operation set up where Murphy pretends to be dead so that people will approach his body, and then Amori robs them, and it's very good. And then they have this argument where Amori's like, I want to go look for Otahn. And Murphy's like, no, that's a dumb idea. We'll get caught. And then they, like, reunite, and I mean, we also, like, we see that they're, you know, romantically involved in this episode. We see them kiss, but then Murphy gets caught by some grounders who are basically like, hey, we know that you've been stealing from people. That's illegal. And then when they find the little Allie microchip, they're like, this is important. We're taking you back to Polis.
Yeah. We're like, John Murphy stepped in it again. He's always in trouble.
Yeah, just can't catch a break.
He can't.
Okay. I think that covers everything for me until episode 6.
Yup.
Which starts out with Clark sketching a sleeping Lexa.
Oh my god. Incredible. Amazing. Love it. I just watch a whole hour of that. It's just great. 100% love it.
Yeah, so then we have this whole thing with Emerson where Clark is immediately like, yeah, we got to kill him for his crimes. He was a he did terrible things. And then people start pointing out to her, hey, but you just said that we shouldn't retaliate against Sky Crew for doing terrible things. And she's like, that's not the same.
Oh my gosh, right? Like, such terrible arguments. And then, like, I love how Lexa puts it. It's like, oh, so, like, blood must not have blood if it's only my people. And it's right. Like, that's so true. Yes, it exactly. Is, yeah. Oh.
So, yeah, basically she just kind of wrestles with that. We see Titus, again, trying to intervene, trying to, like, he talks to Clark and specifically says, like, I'm worried that what Lex is doing will get her killed. Like,
yeah.
if she just pisses off the clans too much, like, she's gonna be killed. But yeah, so eventually Clark is like, actually, I'm not gonna kill you. Blood must not have blood. And he gets banished instead.
Which, like, Emerson always cracks me up, like, just the fact of him, because every time he shows up, I'm like, oh yeah, that guy!
Yeah.
Like, you just totally forget about his existence, so he's right in your face, you're like, oh, you motherfucker.
Exactly, yeah. Well, and I love, like, when they bring him to Clark with a message from Rowan, they're literally like, oh, he sends this as, like, a, you know, gesture of goodwill, and to answer a question yet unanswered, like, oh, that's how they blew up Mount Weather.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty much all that happens in Polis.
Yeah. So then we have Pike wants to get this land to grow crops on, but there is a grounder village there. And so he's like, we're going to clear the grounder village. and again, it's like Bellamy pushes back a little bit, but then is like, okay, you're right. Like, that's worth it. And, like, and also, like, Monty was part of these meetings, and he's kind of like, hey, this is not okay, but just kind of gets, like, outvoted, I guess.
Yeah, which I kind of thought he was, like, an insurgent for the resistance or whatever, right, but I'm not sure that that's true.
Right, that's what I was wondering, but then that was never, like, confirmed, because yeah. You know, other shit got in the way, so, yeah, I don't know. But yeah, Octavia goes and warns them, and, like, first it's going poorly. They're like, screw you, we don't trust you, you're just here to trick us. And then this kid who she saved earlier is like, no, I trust her. So then they're like, okay, we trust you, we'll just get out of here peacefully. But then there's another twist where they're like, actually, we're gonna lure your people into a trap and fuck them up with this, like, acid sap. So in the process of the Sky Crew people trying to come, you know, kill everyone in this village, some of them die, including Monroe, who, again, every time Monroe shows up, I'm like, oh, she's still alive, but now she's not.
Yeah.
Like, she's been around for a really long time, but just been such a minor character for that whole time.
Like, crazy minor. Like, she might have had 5 lines in the entire 3 seasons that we've watched so far.
Yeah.
And now she's dead. So, again, not a lot of feelings there, but does kind of suck. Because you're just like, oh, yeah, what's her face? Now she's gone. Yeah, and then now the ground is unfarmable. So all that was for nothing.
All for naught, yeah.
I think that might be it. I mean, it was more like
well, so then we have City of Light stuff going on.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Right, so Raven has taken the microchip and is a new woman. and she's just, like, fully on board, you know, with, like, oh yeah, Jaha and Allie, like, I'll help you out. So they ask her to find this, like, updated version of Allie's code. But they don't explain why. She kind of starts questioning it. And then they're like, it doesn't matter. And she's like, oh, you're right. Of course, I trust you guys implicitly. and then while she's doing that, Jasper, like, comes to her and, like, they talk about the City of Light. And she kind of starts convincing him to join them, I guess. But then when he does try to join, he gets a little microchip from Jaha, Abby intercepts it and kind of starts questioning it. And then she's like, you know, I don't want you to give these out until I do some tests on them. like, to see what they're doing to people, because it's, like, medically impossible for people to just stop feeling pain in the way that they are. And then she says, like, and, you know, you wouldn't give this to Wells if you hadn't, you know, tested it first, right? And he's just like, Wells? And it's so spooky.
It is such a good moment. That is an excellent moment where you're like, oh, shit. Like, it's even worse than we thought.
Right. Yeah, especially after, you know, in previous seasons when Jaha wouldn't shut up about Wells.
That's a dick, Wells.
So Abby kind of shuts things down for the time being, because she's like, clearly this is not an okay thing for you to be giving to people.
Yeah, and we get the explanation that it, like, he, like, just says in, like, the most casual way, like, oh yeah, it's a silicone base and it, like, goes into your brainstem and then, like, stops the neurons from firing when when you're in pain. Like, just totally cool, totally nonchalant. Like, yeah, just mess with your brain, no big deal. Normal. Oh god. And then Abby's like, oh, the fuck.
Right. So then, and then at the end of the scene, we also get the reveal that Jackson is one of them. Jackson, his taken. Yeah. And it's just, like, it's so good. I mean, like, we'll continue seeing this throughout the season, but it's, like, I just love this kind of, like, body snatchers kind of thing, where it's, like, you know, there's secretly these, like, you know, infected people who, I don't know, it's just, like, I love that tension. Like, it, you know, it happened with, like, Imori and Otan, right? When, like, Otan comes back and she's, like, oh, yeah, like, we're gonna sell this crazy backpack thing. And, you know, just that, like, moment of, like, horror and realization when it's like, oh no, he's one of them. Also, just very small thing that happens this episode, but that is the start of something bigger, is that Kane, like, comes into medical to just be like, hey, I feel really responsible for all of this because I'm the one who said we should have an election and then they elected Pike and now everything is terrible. And Abby kisses him on the cheek. Which, you know, just shows how far their relationship has come.
For real.
Yeah, over the course of this show.
And I just loved, because it was just such a natural progression. Like, that didn't feel forced at all. Like, I really like it.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And then we get the Polaris. There was a 13th.
Yes.
Which I feel like they've mentioned that before.
Yeah, I feel like there was a 13th station. About the 13th station before, that was, like, destroyed, I guess, like, as a threat to the other stations, like,
yeah,
they would all join.
Which is hardcore.
It is pretty hardcore. But yeah, so basically it's, like, Allie is, like, well, my code isn't here, but I'm sure that my creator went into space, so they're, like, oh, it must be on the 13th station, and then we get the reveal that Murphy has been taken to Titus, who wants answers about the little microchip thing, and is next to this some kind of spaceship thing that obviously used to say Polaris, but some letters have been burnt off, so it's Polis, so that's how the city got its name. But we don't really know what that means yet. Like,
yeah, we're still kind of like, oh, okay.
Oh, there's some kind of connection. But yeah, we throughout the season, we will find out exactly what happened there. And yeah, I think that's all I got.
Same here.
Yeah, it is just, it's frustrating to see how sort of little justification Bellamy has for making these terrible choices.
Yep. This season, yeah, I didn't realize how quickly.
Right? It just fucking turns. It's so fast.
Yeah, like last episode, I was like, this is so fucking good. And then now you're like, it's a lot less good now.
Right, yeah. But yeah, hopefully it'll be over again quickly and we can get into the cool City of Light stuff.
Yeah.
All right, thank you so much for coming to our excellent show tonight. It's such a pleasure to have you folks. Yeah, thank you.
We'd like to thank Remimba and Meredith Stein for our lovely logo.
You can find us on the internet. Our Twitter is at abitmuchpodcast. Our email is abitmuchpodcast@gmail.com. And our blog is abitmuchpodcast.blogspot.com. Thank you again for listening. My name is Jenna.
And I'm Megan.
And my favorite quote this week was when Clark asks Lexa, "Do you ever talk about anything other than your own death?"
The answer is no.
No, not really.